Shalom and good morning. Once again, we are in his presence, looking at the word that he has given us. We live by the word. We sleep in his word. We sit because of his word. We walk through his word. And we get guidance through his word. His word is the lamp unto our feet. And we will never be in want because of his word. We live and we will die, as the word of God says. We are in John 13. And I want us to reflect on just the first 11 verses. Verses 1 to 11. Very interesting. Jesus has already completed the ministry to the public. He has nothing else to tell the public. He added up the ministry to the majority, to the people, to the disbeliever, to those who refused to believe, with a cry. He cried. And he cried three things, as we discovered. One, he cried that him and his father are one. He said, even though I came to my own believed me not. Even though I came to the world that I created, and the world did not recognize me. I want you to know that my father and I are one. Number two, he also said, though you have not accepted or believed in me now, I came as the light in this dark world, so that those living in the dark world will not remain there, but you'll have the light of life. Number three, he did a cry to the public or to the multitude, and he said, I did not come to judge you for this time, but the word I have spoken, the word I have cried, will remain, and one day it will judge you in the last day. That tells us that words don't die. The words we speak remains forever. And so Jesus cried those words. He shouted those words. And there, he shouted them across the heavens. And these words, I believe, they are still circulating to this very day, to anyone who does not believe in him. And with that, he concluded the ministry to them. And then he went to those who believed in him. And when he went to those who believed in him, he wanted to speak to them and empower them for the ministry that they would continue. He knew. The Bible says that it was just before Passover. That is John 13 verse 1. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the very end. Now, there are a few things that this verse introduces the other chapters or whatever he's going to say. Because he said that a few things he knew. He knew that the hour had come. What hour? What is this hour the Lord has always said? There was a time Jesus would say, my hour has not come. My hour has not yet come. My time is not yet come. His brothers told him, let's go to Jerusalem. No one does the things and want to become a public figure and want to do it at night all by himself. Then Jesus would tell them, my hour has not come. What is this hour? Jesus' hour was the hour of his mission. His mission was he came to die. He came to die for us. His hour was the hour of giving himself on our behalf. Nobody would have received life if Jesus did not give his life. The hour of exchanging evil for good has come. The hour of exchanging fear for courage has come. The hour of exchanging shame for honor has come. The hour of exchanging poverty for riches has come. The hour of exchanging darkness for life has come. The hour of bringing back my Father's desire has come. Jesus knew that. And he said, he knew that he was just about to come, to go, to leave this world and go back to the Father. That was about the hour of his purpose. Then he said he loved his own. His own are those who accepted him. His own are those disciples who said yes and believed in him and followed him. But then he said that he loved them. He had shown his love to them. But then he was to show his love to the very end. How had he shown his love? He had shown his love by fighting for them when they were attacked. He has shown his love by calling them from darkness to life. He has shown his love by being a substitute for them. He has shown his love by enlisting them to the kingdom of God. And now he had to show this love to the very end. What is the very end? The very end means until he does it at the cross. And so here we are starting his final journey towards the cross. Jesus would die after 2 days. After this day, it will be only one day, and then Jesus would be able to pay the penalty. That was the hour he had been talking about. He loved that hour. That hour is already past now because he did it. For them, it was ahead. For us, it's behind. And so, Jesus displayed, demonstrated this love that he would show them to the very love. And I want you to know that everything is actually founded on the love. What is love? Love is to express, is to find joy in the joy of others. That is love. Love is that Jesus would not have found joy if the disciples did not find joy. And so Jesus demonstrated this love. And he demonstrated in a way that was very shocking. What he did is that he entered into the house with them. And culturally or customary, the one who was least, considered least in that culture, was supposed to take the water and wash the feet of the rest. And so he discovered that these friends of his that he loved to the very end were not doing anything. Now, in the book of Matthew, it is indicated in chapter number 18, after they came from the mountain of transfiguration, is that they started competing who is the greatest among them. I know this has always been for many people, especially when the leader is just about to go or when the leader is aging, the sons keep on asking who should be the greatest. This is why every father must be very quick to point somebody who take the mantle and lead. You remember, in Israel, the firstborn was actually the one who was supposed to take the mantle and lead. That's why in Israel, that did not ensue. But now there's a ministry. Jesus had not picked who is the firstborn. Peter had assumed because he was the oldest, maybe he was the firstborn. Maybe Judas has assumed because he might could have been a very wealthy person. Judas was a was a treasurer, meaning that he was a little educated, more than these other fishermen. I don't know. Maybe any other thought they were the greatest. And they were complaining about that. And so here, that story of who is the greatest came even to this table. He is not only having his team, and he will only focus on this team. This is the private ministry now, the private sessions he has started. But what he did to break that power of competition is that he took the water himself, and that shocked them. He said, "Master, taking the water, the shocker was ahead. He put water on a basin. He took a towel or an outer garment. Some Bible talks about an apron. He put it around his waist. And then he started washing the feet of his disciples." Now, that was the work of the one who was the least, was considered the least. Now, they knew he was the greatest. But here, he is doing the work of the least. That did not really augur well. And here, Jesus is to win these disciples who are competing. Those disciples who are feeling like we know what it means to be greatest. And he is winning them for service. He wants to tell them, "I came to serve. I'm among you as one who serves." He was breaking this culture of sitting and being served by others. He said, "I came to serve, and the greatest service is death. I came to give. Service is giving. I came to give my life as a ransom for you." And so he served them. He washed them their feet. This would have taken much time. Imagine the washing of one person's feet would take about 10 minutes and even drying. Can you imagine 12 of them would take about 120 minutes? That's over 1 hour or close to 2 hours. What a service. What a ministry. Serving yourself. Serving your team. This is the greatest thing, to serve your team. But when he came to serve Peter, Peter objected. Why did Peter object? And Jesus said, Peter asked, "Master, do you mean that you want to wash my feet?" He said, "You cannot do that." Peter said, "If I cannot do this, you are not part of my ministry." Then Peter said, "Then don't only wash my feet, wash my whole body, the hands, the feet, and the hand, and everywhere." Just said, anybody who took a bath is clean. Only the feet that need to be washed. Meaning that you people has taken a bath for believing in me. Only the feet of entangling with the world that need to be washed. And they were to wash. This was a significance of service. That's the major thing I want us to get out of this. And I know Peter finally, I know he accepted. But that lesson was a shocker to him. And he would be able to get it as we continue. And then what is major here, one more thing, is that Jesus washed the feet of Judas. He knew that Judas would be able to betray him. Now, this is the most greatest thing in service. Would you serve the people who hate you? Would you serve the people who are just about to betray you? Would you serve people who are just about to let you out to go to the world or to give you out to the world? Very close friend who is just about to sell you out. Jesus shows love. Service must be done in love. Service that is not done in love does not have blessing. We have to serve others, but we have to serve them out of love. May God help us to serve one another. And Jesus said, "What I've done for you, do to each other." That was it. And he said, "Now that you know how to do it, you will receive a higher blessing." Because there are two blessings: the blessing of receiving, the blessing of giving. He said you receive a higher blessing if you do them. The blessing of doing is the higher blessing than the blessing of receiving. May we this morning Trust God to get the blessing that is higher. Father, in Jesus' name, give us the grace to serve one another. Give us the grace to receive service from one another. Break pride in us, like the one was in Peter, so that we can accept to be served, and we can be able to accept to serve one another, in Jesus' name.